So let's give our full and reverent attention now to the reading of God's Word from the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every person was coming into the world. May God bless to our hearts and minds this reading from His holy word. This John, the one to whom the Apostle John refers to here, is usually referred to as John the Baptist or John the Baptizer in order to distinguish him from the Apostle John, who is one of the original 12 disciples of Jesus and the author of this gospel, as well as the three New Testament epistles of John and the book of Revelation. It's John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, to whom John the Apostle introduces us in the verses we just read. This John, the Baptizer, was the late-in-life only son of a priest named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, who it turns out was a cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. You can read all about the birth of John and the events leading up to it in Luke chapter 1. This John is one of the most fascinating figures in the whole Bible. His appearance was unusual. He may have looked like a wild man with his long hair and shaggy beard. His wardrobe was strange. He wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. His diet was strange too. He ate locusts and wild honey. He drank no wine or other adult beverages. He lived out in the wilderness by himself. Strange is no doubt a word a lot of people would apply to him. But from birth, the hand of God was upon him. From before his birth, he was set apart by God for the Lord's service. From his birth, if not before, God's Spirit was upon him, preparing him for the work God had prepared for him to do. And John was passionate, even fearless, as he carried out his mission from God, even when it got him into trouble. He was arrested and eventually beheaded by Herod Antipas, the governor of Judea, at the urging of Salome, the daughter of Herod's wife Herodias. And you can read all about that in chapter 6 of the Gospel of Mark. While there are many things we could learn from the life and witness of John the Baptizer, there are three things I want to bring to your attention today. The first thing we can learn from John is simply the importance of knowing yourself. To make the most of your life, to get the most out of your life, you've got to know who you are. And one thing that impresses me about John is that he knew who he was and who he was not. When the religious leaders in Jerusalem heard about John and what he was doing, how he was preaching a message of repentance and baptizing people in the Jordan River, they sent a delegation from Jerusalem to go and check him out. They wanted to see him in action. They wanted to know who he was or who he thought he was. And they didn't waste time with pleasantries. They got right to the point. They said, "Who are you? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Are you the one we've been waiting for?" Now stop for a moment and try to take that in. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be incredibly flattering? with crowds of people coming from all over to listen to you and to be baptized by you, with the big kahunas in Jerusalem taking notice of you, it wouldn't be difficult to start believing some pretty grandiose things about yourself, would it? But John didn't let any of that go to his head. John knew who he was and who he was not. And so without hesitation, he said to those religious higher-ups, "I am not the Christ." "Then who are you?" they wanted to know. "Are you Elijah, whose coming again was foretold by the prophet Malachi? Are you the prophet with a capital P, the one whose coming Moses spoke about?" And John said, "No, I'm not." Now, it is true that on one occasion Jesus said, "If you're willing to accept it, John is the Elijah who was to come." But John didn't view himself as the second coming of Elijah. "Then who are you?" The religious leaders pressed him for an answer. "What do you say about yourself?" And John answered in terms of the prophetic word of Isaiah 40, verse 3. He said, "I'm the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." In other words, what John said about himself was this. He said, "I'm really just an ordinary man who's doing what God has called me to do. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, get ready to meet the Lord because He's coming. I'm here to prepare the way for Him. If you think there's something special about me, you haven't seen anything yet. The one coming after me, the real Messiah, is so great that I'm not even worthy to be His slave." John knew who he was and who he was not. He found his identity not in what other people said about him or in his popularity with the crowds who flocked to him. He found his identity in a relationship with God. He knew who he was because he knew the God who'd made him and called him. John's identity, you see, was rooted in a relationship. It was rooted in his relationship with God. It was built on the foundation of a personal relationship with the God of the universe, the God who knows you and me and every one of us by name and has a mission for each one of us in this life. John knew who he was. How about you? Do you know who you are? Have you discovered your true identity in a personal relationship with God? With the God who made you and loved you and loves you and has a good and gracious plan for your life? Unless or until you do, you will miss out on the best things in life. And you will not fulfill the purpose for which God made you. Which leads to the second thing we can learn from John. The second thing we can learn from John's life is the importance of knowing your purpose. John knew that he'd been sent from God. He knew that he was a man on a mission. He was not the Messiah. He was not the eternal Word who became incarnate, who became flesh and blood in the fullness of time and came to live among us in order to die for us. John was not the one and only Son of God and Savior of sinners. He was not the light of the world that the darkness cannot extinguish. That was not John. That's Jesus. John came not as the light, but as a witness to the light. Not as the Word, but but as a witness to the Word. Not to call attention to himself, but to draw attention to Jesus. Not to make a name for himself, but to prepare the way for the coming of the Savior. The purpose of John's life, a purpose he gladly embraced, was to point beyond himself to the Messiah, to the Savior, so that people would recognize Jesus, believe in Jesus, and follow Jesus. John's mission from God as a forerunner of the Messiah was to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus, and then to point others to him, which is exactly what John did. The main message of John's life, a message that took precedence even over his insistent call for people to repent, was what he said to his own followers, including Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, when he saw Jesus in John 1, verse 29, and again in verse 36, he said, "Look, behold, pay attention, there he is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah and Savior who would give his own life as a sacrifice to pay for your sin and my sin and the sin of everyone who believes in him. And John gave this testimony about Jesus. He said, "I have seen with my own eyes, and I testify that he, Jesus, is the Son of God." To point people to Jesus so that they would believe in him and love him and follow him was the purpose of John's life. That's what he was made for. And so when larger and larger numbers of people began to follow Jesus instead of John, how did John react? Did he get mad? Was he jealous of Jesus? Did he feel hurt? No, none of that. It made him happy. It gave him great joy. John didn't mind that at all. In fact, it was just what he wanted. You know, one of the most amazing statements in the whole Bible is found in John 3, verse 30. John 3, 30. What makes it so amazing, what makes it so powerful, is how counter it runs to human nature. John, the baptizer, is speaking. And he says, "He, Jesus, must become greater. I must become less. He, Jesus, must increase in stature and fame and in the affections and devotion of people's hearts. But I must decrease." That is a radically life-altering, totally countercultural perspective. It's a way of seeing, a way of thinking, a way of living that will turn a person's life right side up. So many people in this world live by the false maxim that says, "I must increase. I must become greater and greater. I must have more and more and more." The life of John the Baptizer points to a different way, a better way. The way that says Jesus must become greater and I must become less. My life must become less about me and more about him. John understood what you and I have got to understand if we're going to serve God's purposes faithfully with our lives. Make no mistake, God does have a purpose for your life, as surely as he had a purpose for John. John understood that it wasn't about him wasn't about his place or prestige or popularity. It was all about Jesus. It was all about the Word, the Word of God who became flesh and blood and lived among us in order to die for us. It wasn't about John. John was just a witness to the Word. My life is not about me. Your life is not about you. It's all about Jesus. I hope you see that. Like John, our purpose is to point people to Jesus. Like John, we are all people with a purpose. So let me ask you, do you know your purpose? Do you know God's purpose for your life? And have you embraced that purpose? Does it animate and energize you the way it did John? Are you serving God's purposes in your life? Like John, we're not the light. Jesus is the light. Like John, our job is to bear witness to the light, to reflect the light of Jesus, to point people to the true light, to Jesus, the true light who gives light to everyone. And the third lesson we can learn from John is the importance of spirit of humility. Now, John could be bold. He was direct and uncompromising in his message. He did not hesitate to call a snake, or to call sin exactly what it is. But he had a spirit of humility about him because he had a clear sense of who he was and who he was not. He had a clear sense of God's claim on his life and God's purpose for his life. He knew what some Christians, especially Christian leaders, sometimes forget, which is that you cannot glorify God and glorify yourself at the same time. You cannot exalt Jesus and exalt yourself at the same time. John Ortberg tells a story in one of his books about the CEO of a Fortune 500 company who pulled into a service station to get gas. Now this story either took place a lot of years ago, like back in the previous millennium, or it must have been in New Jersey, because that's the only place I know where they still have attendants who pump gas for customers. Anyway, the CEO went inside to pay, which is another indicator that this took place a long time ago. And when he came out, he noticed his wife engaged in a deep conversation with the service station attendant. Turns out that she knew him. They knew each other. In fact, they had dated in high school before she met her eventual husband. Well, the CEO got back in the car and they drove off. And after some period of silence had elapsed, the CEO said, "I bet I know what you were thinking. I bet you were thinking how glad you are that you married me, a Fortune 500 CEO, and not him, a service station attendant." And you know what she said? She said, "No, actually, I was thinking that if I had married him, he'd be a Fortune 500 CEO and you'd be a service station attendant." Isaiah 66:3. The Lord says, "This is the one I esteem, the one who's humble and contrite in spirit, the one who trembles at my word." And both James and Peter in the New Testament remind us that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And someone has said, you've probably heard, it takes more grace than I can tell to play the second fiddle well. John the Baptist played second fiddle exceptionally well. He demonstrated the amazing grace of humility, and God honored him for it. He was content not to be the light, but to be a witness to the light. He was content not to be the Word, not to be the Word to whom all worship and praise and honor belong, but to be a witness to the Word. And may it be so with us. May we go and do likewise this Advent season and always, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.